We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to Kits and Wagers. I am Adam Zdrake, soccer editor at RotoWire, joined by Chris at RotoWire, a soccer writer at RotoWire. We're back together after a small hiatus. But first, are you looking for NFTs that are both fun and have actual utility? Try So Rare, the largest NFT-based fantasy game. You can collect, trade, and compete with officially licensed digital cards, soccer players from over 180 clubs on So Rare. That's SORARE.com. Again, we're talking game week 11. First, Chris. So I was thinking, you know, we could do this podcast in Spanish, and then I reconsidered it and decided we shouldn't do it. You're currently in Mexico. You're still in Mexico. I was in Spain for 2 weeks. So I hope you're still enjoying the weather. Tell us about your kit.
Yeah, so week two here in Mexico, I was just in Guadalajara for a wedding of my best bud. So never have been in Mexico, but now I've been here for a bit. And, you know, when you're in a city, especially a city the size of Guadalajara, you got to go out and you got to do as the locals do and support the local team. So I'm sitting here. I'm in the Chivas Guadalajara kit. Actually grabbed a couple of them because, honestly, you got the collar here. Couple stripes, nice colors. So I had to go out and get that, and I got an away kit as well that maybe we'll see down the road. But supporting the team, and don't know enough about Liga MX, but maybe I will in the future.
So did you get a name on the back of that, or?
I think, and maybe this is a existential question for the listeners, but as you get older, you know, I'd stop. If I'm older than the player, then I can't get their name on my back. So now I've just got no names on the jerseys. So I think, I don't know if that's a adult thing, but as a kid, you'd always get a player on the back. And now as I am a little bit older, I don't really get players on the back of my kits anymore because it's like, should I get a kid on the back of my kid as an adult? So I don't know, nothing on this one, but I have a few with some players on the back of them.
Okay. Yeah. 100% makes sense. I can't argue with that. So I didn't buy any kits while I was there. Unfortunately, I just didn't, it was my honeymoon. So, my wife wasn't, she didn't want to, look for, go around the city looking for kits and stuff. We did go to a match though, and I got a couple scarves, but we got the Athletic Club of Bilbao scarf. So this week for me, it's scarves and wagers, but we're both sporting the Rojo y Blanco. So bring a little Spanish in there for the listeners. Hopefully we can get a Spanish lesson in here. So Chris, I did not have a best bet last week on this podcast. Your best bet, it was a loser. So what happened? Was it the right process or were you just wrong?
I was just wrong ultimately. But I believe it was Norwich and Leeds over 2.5 goals, and it was sitting at plus 105. There's some pretty good odds for even further up. The under 2.5 goals, and they went out and scored. It was 3 goals, 2-1. So I missed my bet there. But, you know, somehow Norwich found a way to find the back of the net, which is something that they hadn't done in quite a while and haven't been doing it at a consistent rate by any means. But I guess when you play Leeds, all of a sudden you can start scoring goals. The silver line in all of that is that, you know, Leeds won 2-1, and I did mention Rafinha. I believe he was at anytime goal scoring odds of plus 225. He opened the scoring for Leeds. So, yeah. Didn't get it right, but you know, we're always trying to, get better here. So we'll try to get into some later and hit some bets too. So, you know, it was a little bit weird without you, Adam. We had one of our colleagues, John McKechnie, join, and you know, a good friend of mine too. So it was nice to chat with him. But you know, get back to square one here with the now kit / scarves and wagers podcast.
Yeah. I was following along with your bet. And, you know, it was 0-0 in the first half. Nothing much was happening. And then all of a sudden, three goals in, I'm looking right now, first 15 minutes of the second half. So we'll just call this, you know, right process, wrong result. That's what we say for every losing bet here. And we're going to continue saying that. So I'm going to
– Despite being in it. In international podcasts, you know, they still don't listen. Apparently, we haven't gotten any guys from Norwich listening to the pod quite yet, but maybe, you know, they start to listen to it and help us out a bit.
Yeah. Going back a couple weeks with my best bet, I don't know what's going on with Brentford is kind of what I want to bring into this. So my last best bet, I picked Brentford draw no bet. They're home against Leicester City. And it just didn't work out. So I don't know. It was one I really liked the bet, and then so I didn't see it. I was in Spain, but after the match, Thomas Frank, the manager, he just went on. He said that Brentford should be unbeaten on the season, and they were the better team than Leicester in that match. And then you know a match later, a few days later, they lost 3-1 to Burnley. And now, so this week, they are home against Norwich, and they are a minus 165 favorite. So let's just jump into game week 11 here. Minus 165, Brentford, I don't know, just looking at their form, you know, Norwich bottom of the table, but Brentford's form, they're kind of not playing that well. Would you take minus 165 against Norwich? And considering last year's results when these teams were in the championship, Norwich won one match 1-0 and the other was 1-1. So it's not like Brentford has had a noticeable edge between these teams the last couple seasons. What do you think about, I mean, these are two promoted sides here, but do you have any thoughts on that match?
Yeah, I think a couple weeks ago we talked about like what is the threshold of where we make a bet on negative odds, and I think we say one minus 120, minus like 140 is right around where we kind of is the threshold of like taking a you know negative odds. So I mean that all that said, it's like probably not going to take Brentford as a favorite considering they've lost three straight matches. We're not hitting our threshold of about minus 120 and or positive odds. So I would shy away from that. And you did mention, you know, some of those results last season, the 1-0 and the 1-1. You know, neither defense has been particularly great. So, I mean, if you want to go the other route there too, we've got, Norwich in their last two matches, the goal total has been over 2.5. That 7-0 loss to Chelsea being one of them, and then the 2-1 loss to Leeds last weekend. And then Brentford in their last four or five Premier League matches, they've been over 2.5 goals as well. So, you know, that there's the potential just given what we've seen for a lot of goals last season, not so many. So I would consider definitely the over 2.5 goals is sitting at plus 100. So to summarize, no on the minus 165.
Okay. Yeah. Going back to the threshold we were looking at. So I think I maybe said, you know, minus 130, minus 140. And then I thought about that when I was writing my article for this week. It's currently up at rotowire.com, but I took Manchester City to win at minus 145, a match, you know, we'll get into in a little bit here, but I guess we can start a little more with this Friday game here, that the standalone game. So figured we'd talk about it a little bit. Southampton are at home, plus 105 against Aston Villa, who's plus 270. They have allowed, 12 goals in their last four matches. They just changed out their formation. Danny Ings is out, so they've had to they went back to a 4-4 or a 4-3-3 last match, and it did not work. They benched Tyrone Mings. It did not work. Konsa was sent off with a straight red card. They lost 4-1 at home to West Ham. Even with those results for Villa, I like the under in this match, under 2.5. It's plus 100 the last time I saw it. It's just mainly because Southampton have been really defensive at home. And I just think the Villa struggles combined with Southampton, probably not a team that is going to, rack up a ton of goals. And I kind of think, after being benched, Mings is a guy, he's going to come in and play with some ferocity, whatever word I'm looking for here.
Right. Let's just make up words on the pod.
Yeah, so I like the under there. You have a preference for that one?
Yeah, actually I do. You mentioned they've lost four straight. They've conceded, a ton of goals. Four last game, three to Arsenal, three to Wolves the game prior, and then two to the Tottenham side that have been struggling. So it's like, I can't – and they're missing – was it Konsa suspended? And then, obviously struggling overall. But, and this is where I would target this for my best bet. I know we usually get into this a little bit later, but since we're talking about it now, Aston Villa have been playing so poorly. And, I liked how Southampton have played. They've been a little bit better now, especially with James Ward-Prowse back from suspension. So Southampton at plus odds, plus 105 to win this one is what I would consider my best bet, just given how poorly Aston Villa have been. Missing their top goal scorer. They're missing Douglas Luiz, who I think is a really important player for them. They're probably going to Bertrand Traoré is out. Missing some big pieces, especially against the Southampton side, who've been really organized. So I like Southampton here at plus 105 odds. And, there's potential that in our next international break, we're maybe talking about Dean Smith either if he's still around, a manager who might be looking at the sack in the future.
Yeah, definitely came up. I think it was in his press conference maybe today or something about just him being in deep water here. They added these guys. Leon Bailey has been kind of, he's had his injury issues, so he hasn't really been full go. And Ings, now he's hurt. But, Ashley Young, he got a couple starts early in the season, and he hasn't really played much since. Yeah, he actually may get the call here if they go with a 4-3-3. Depends the status of Jacob Ramsey. But, yeah, so last season – I don't know if you want to know the result, but Villa 1-0 at Southampton. And then the other match was Southampton 4-3 at Villa. Some weird results, but again, these teams are, the last however long, year and a half, season and a half or so. So Southampton, it seems like, they're in this current run where their defense is in form, they're playing well, and in the second half of last season, all that just fell apart. They dealt with injuries and, they had a bad second half of the season, but it looks like, they're back to some form. So on theory, a correct theory, I guess we'll say, to start it off. If you're getting plus odds here for them to win, it's a pretty good spot just with the way Villa's playing and their injuries. I kind of like that, and I'll probably look at that for Friday. So being the only match, I'll probably look at that myself.
Nice. Yeah, and Ollie Watkins for Villa, being without Ings, he's played eight matches, came off the bench and won two goals in eight matches right now. So he's not really getting it done for them up top either. And as mentioned, without Ings, it could be difficult for them to find the back of the net.
Yeah, Watkins probably still looking for some form and just overall looking to find a way into the team just because, obviously he didn't play with Danny Ings last season, so it's a little bit different for him. But, next match we're going to talk about is, the game everyone wants to talk about, right? Is that how it goes, the Manchester Derby? So Manchester United are home, plus 380. against Manchester City, -143. So I think the big thing for this match, I guess you got the Ole stuff with whatever's going on with him. But so I was in Spain for a couple weeks. I haven't seen some of these matches, so I didn't really know what was going on. I'm looking through game logs here, and it's United has gone to a completely different formation than what they've had pretty much the entire time Ole's been the manager. Like, they've had a 4-2-3-1 pretty much the entire time he's been there. And they've moved to a 3-5-2, which is, you know, a pretty drastic move. Like, you're playing three center backs, and, like, you're moving Eric Bailly into the starting 11 with Harry Maguire, and now it's going to be Lindelof, you know, without Varane in there. But so that changes everything up. So if they're doing this 3-5-2, like, Bruno Fernandes is in the midfield, and but you still have McTominay and Fred playing, and then we currently have projected Cavani in the starting 11 next to Ronaldo. So, you know, they've had some success, 3-0 at Tottenham, who now lost their – or let their manager go in Nuno Espirito Santo. And then midweek Champions League, so they're up a couple goals on Atalanta, and then they gave up two goals. So I'm just not sure overall that, you know, maybe they got the more center backs, and maybe that's going to help their defensive woes, but I'm not sure that's going to work against Manchester City.
Yeah, I mean, from a tactical perspective, the 3-5-2, like, kind of trying to put a couple more bodies in the middle because that's where they've struggled so much. I can see where they're doing that. They're asking maybe Bruno to do a little bit more defensive work with Fred and McTominay. But when you're facing a side like Manchester City with, you know, Rodri, Bernardo Silva, Kevin De Bruyne could play in the middle too. And another thing to note, you mentioned that Manchester United are going to be without Rafael Varane for maybe a month or so. Manchester City without Aymeric Laporte too this match. So if we're looking at some defensive frailties, and from at least for Manchester United, there's the potential there for City to be missing a player as well.
Yeah, I just don't sleep. You know, they've played who knows how long. Maybe they've been Ole's been, you know, working on this formation for a couple weeks or a couple months, but I doubt it really. They had a decent start to the season, so he probably wasn't tinkering too much. But, you know, they played two matches with this formation. I'm just not sure, like, that's going to be a good strategy going against Manchester City, just going with a new formation and all that. And you got to think Manchester City are going to control, I don't know, 60% or so of the possession. I'm not sure what the odds are on that one. I guess that usually comes out a little closer to match time. But I kind of like just going with the injuries overall, and what seems like United are sure they are scoring more goals with this formation is what it looks like. Just going with that, I think a fun one would be, you know, going looking for more than 4 or 5 goals. If you took over 4.5 goals, you can get plus 370. Just fun things like that. Okay, yeah, it's not on this sheet, but yes, I believe it's plus 370. So just some fun things to do because, you know, it could be a match where City, you know, they get 2-3 goals, but then on the other side, Ronaldo gets a couple or something like that. Do you have any preference how this is going to go? I know recent derbies have been pretty low scoring, but I just like the over with what's going on with Man United right now.
Yeah, I would expect a few goals here, definitely, just given how poorly Manchester United have been defensively. City obviously know how to get it done in front of net. That's not to say that United doesn't have a pretty good chance. As we saw in the midweek, you know, anytime you put Cristiano Ronaldo in your attack, you've always kind of got a shot. So, but yeah, I would definitely, you mentioned some of those more fun over goals. Goal totals is something to potentially target. So, yeah, still like City in this one, obviously, but anything happens in a derby, so. That's definitely something to think about.
Yeah, otherwise Saturday, nothing really stands out. Chelsea, well, I guess I don't want to say that if Chelsea may be my best bet. So Chelsea -400 against Burnley, Crystal Palace, who are suddenly a good team. Unclear when that happened, but they're +150 at home against Wolverhampton. Brighton -165 against Newcastle. Anything you want to look at from those ones?
Yeah, there's a – I mean, you talked about Palace, man. How good have they been? And interesting that we, I think it was in our first international break, Paul, where we talked about futures, potential sackings. You know, we've seen Palace just beat, you know, Man City 2-0. They're actually playing pretty decently. I haven't lost in 5 games. I mean, they've drawn, I think, drawn 6 out of 10 matches, which is pretty insane. That particular match, I think it has the lowest implied goal total. So if you head over to our cheat sheet on rotowire.com, you can check out like what has the lowest implied goal total. So that being said, if we expect to get a 0-0 draw out of that, I don't know if that's going to happen, but you can get no goal scorer on DraftKings for any time goal scorer. You can get that at plus 650. So kind of a fun one there to discuss. But both teams have actually been playing pretty well, so kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm surprised that match has the lowest over under there. I don't know. I'm not sure. Crystal Palace are playing well. I just don't. I'm not 100% on their back line right now. But you know, if they stop Man City to zero, you know, what can they do against Wolves? I don't know. I think it's just kind of maybe, I don't know, maybe just a game that you kind of want to stay away from, just because, I don't know. Crystal Palace just seems like a mystery team to me. You don't know how good they're going to be, but 13th in the table. So even though they've been playing well, still down there a little bit. And Wolves, they've had some success, a decent amount of success, I'll say. And yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one.
If you're going along the theme of Crystal Palace drawing a bunch of matches, you can get that. You can get that draw with Wolves at +220. Only thing to note.
Yeah, 220. That's still pretty low odds, and I guess the odds pretty much say 1-1 draw. So I don't know. Sunday, Arsenal -255 at home against Watford. Everton +210 against Tottenham, slight underdog there. Leeds, slight underdog at home against Leicester, +180. And Liverpool, -143 at West Ham, the favorite. What do we got for Sunday here?
Yeah, I mean, the big one being Liverpool, West Ham. West Ham all the way up to fourth on the table right now, playing super well. Seems like that Liverpool-West Ham game is always kind of like Michael Antonio scores like a crazy goal on a counter. Liverpool go up a couple goals. But, yeah, so I could see that one having a few different goals. I don't know with Liverpool playing so frequently, like, you know, don't feel super confident while West Ham playing, you know, pretty well themselves. So, I would probably stay away from that myself. The Leicester-Leeds United match is something that's like, okay, both teams, you know, conceding some goals. So I would definitely entertain the over totals there. So other than that, I really, you know, Arsenal playing really well. We talked about them earlier this season as a team who has struggled. So pretty big favorites there. So some good matches, some good ones to watch. Maybe not the best ones that I would check out to bet on.
Yeah, going with your usual bet of Salah there for Liverpool. He's -120 as an anytime goal scorer. I considered it for my best bet, but I kind of didn't, you know, I didn't want to step on your toes with that one. But I think it's a pretty decent route to look. I mean, these teams, it was 2-1 last season, 3-1. Like, you got to think there's going to be goals. West Ham have been a little better defensively in the last month or so. They're currently playing in Europa League as this one is, as our show's going on. Actually, last I saw, they're down 1-0 at Genk. Yep. Genk. No, I guess now they're up 2-1. But I think that one is another match like the Manchester Derby. Like, if you want to bet over 3.5, over 4.5, I think that one, you know, could produce goals. You know, Liverpool have some injuries here and there.
Yeah, a couple of anytime goal scorers there. You know, you mentioned Salah. We, you know, the pod is a big fan of Mo Salah, as most people should be. But -120, that's right within our threshold of where we'd kind of bet there. But a couple other players to mention who have actually been, you know, Sadio Mane, a guy who's been playing really well lately. He's +160 to score. Diego Jota is +150, and depending on what happens with a little squad rotation, given the fact that they played Wednesday against Atletico Madrid, Roberto Firmino, 175. And then I did mention Michael Antonio. He's plus 220. So a few guys to think about if you don't want to go minus 120 on Mo Salah.
Yeah, I think Jota will be back in the 11 because Firmino just picked up that hamstring injury. Yep. So I was looking at that Jota odds plus 150, but he's been kind of struggling this season. So, but one plus 150 goal with match with some goals, you know, it's okay odds, but you know, he's not in form. So, but for those other Sunday matches, I think that Tottenham Everton match could have some goals that Tottenham are currently playing, I think, or they're maybe in half an hour after the show. They'll be playing, so the first match under Antonio Conte, so kind of see what's going to happen with that. He is a little more defensive, you know, with this usually like a 3-4-1-2 or a 3-4-3 or something like that. So that would be something to watch Thursday. Originally, I liked the over in that match, but with the way Conte manages, I'm not sure I want the over in that one. And I kind of like Leicester City against Leeds. You like the over in that one, but I'm kind of iffy just on taking overs in Leeds matches, even though, you know, that Norwich one was 2-1. I don't know. They've just had their struggles, and I think they're just going to continue to struggle, even though, you know, Leicester's back line has been whatever. But I guess we can get into – so my best bet, back with that Chelsea match, I had a tough time. I think we both had a tough time finding our best bets this week. It's kind of a, you know, you were busy watching Liga MX. I was busy watching La Liga. So we had some questions, but so I'm going to go, I think I took this a few weeks ago in Chelsea. Yes, they gave up the James Ward-Prowse PK. So Chelsea to win in a shutout did not hit, unfortunately, but I'm going to go back to it. I think, you know, correct process, wrong result there. They're minus 120 to beat Burnley in a shutout. So Burnley, the only reason I'm kind of iffy on this is because, you know, Maxwell Cornet has just come into the lineup and he's been awesome. He scored a couple goals a couple matches ago. Burnley have had these matches where there have been a lot of goals in them, more so than you'd normally think for Burnley matches. But on the other side of that, they've also been shut out against Tottenham and Manchester City in recent contests. And you look at the other end, Chelsea, you know, they're dealing with injuries, but they won both these meetings, combined 5-2 last season. And then I believe they've won their last 7 matches in league, Champions League, and League Cup. And 5 of those were shutouts. So I'm just going off Chelsea's form, really, hoping injuries aren't too big a factor. Kai Havertz, Hakim Ziyech, Callum Hudson-Odoi. I hope those guys will get at least one goal, and then they don't allow one to Cornet and Chris Wood on the counter or something like that. So minus 120, not the best odds, but I'll take it. Do you like that? I know you wrote down Maxwell Cornet, his goal odds in the sheet, yeah. But what do you think about that?
Yeah, certainly not a bad idea there. And you mentioned how we looked at the slate and we're like, you know, what the heck do we do with this one? Whether that's because we haven't been watching enough over the past week or just because it is a little bit more complicated. Good bet. I like Maxwell Cornet. He scored 4 goals in 4 matches. In the past 4 matches, I mean, it'd be nice if he scored 4 goals in every match. But, yeah, 4-4 for him. And he is sitting at plus 450 as an anytime goal scorer. So do you think he can keep that form? Obviously, a really difficult matchup against Chelsea, who have been good defensively. But something to consider there, because you're not going to find many people who have been in that good of form sitting at plus 450 odds.
Yeah, clearly you don't want to make that bet because Chelsea are going to win to nil, winning a shutout. So, yep. You know, I guess it's a head-to-head battle right here between us.
Yep, a classic.
All right, that's I think that's all we got for game week 11 here. Chris has got to go to the beach. You know, he's in Mexico. He's got to soak up the sun. I'm dealing with some jet lag here. I think I've been back home in Michigan for, I don't know, less than 15 hours now. So, The jet lag starting to get to me a little bit after lack of sleep, but power through for the fans, for everyone here listening to Kits and Wagers. Again, Chris, your best bet. Give a recap here for us.
Yeah, best bet, Southampton plus 105. Aston Villa missing a few players, lost four straight. Dean Smith fighting for his managerial life. I like Southampton to win this one at plus 105.
Heck yeah. All right. Let's do it. And mine is Chelsea to win in a shutout minus 120 against Burnley. Chris, thank you for joining me. And next time we talk, you will not be in Mexico. So sorry about that.
All good. We'll talk next week.
All right. Thanks for listening to Kits and Wagers. Again, like and subscribe wherever you're listening. Watch on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. Like the video, whatever. Like it all. But yeah, find us at rotowire.com. Got the article up there for game week 11. Watch the video. We got all your content. And we will see you next week for game week 12.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.